Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. A pleasure to have you here today. Also a pleasure to continue our conversation as we welcome back innovative OBGYN Dr. Victoria Monlock. When it comes to women's health complaints, many doctors fail to listen to patients or to get to the root cause of their problems. They're not always able to help women separate the myth from reality and come to grips what's really going on inside them. So their problems with things like perimenopause and menopause and even menstruation are shrouded in wonder and disinformation. But there is one doctor, however, who cares deeply, top-ranked OBGYN with nearly 35 years of practical experience, and she not only looks at the hormone connection to women's health concerns, but has made it her mission to raise awareness of all of it. That doctor is Dr. Victoria J. Monlock. As the cover of her second book, Full Bloom, says, we must all learn the groundbreaking truth about your hormones and health. Patients applaud Dr. Monlock, or Dr. Vicky as most call her, for listening, testing, and looking more deeply into their multiple health issues. Beyond recognition from patients, Dr. Monlock has received professional accolades too. 4-star rated by U.S. News and World Report, and named Best in Medicine by the American Health Council. Each honor for her achievements in women's health. On this episode and throughout the series, we're talking about a lot of incredible, relevant topics. She's going to divulge truths found in Full Bloom, which is oriented to women in their 30s and older, and her first book, Blossoming, which centers on the pubescent years to age 30. She's also discussing the YouTube channel she launched called Hey Doc, What's Up? And information women can find there as well. As we continue the conversation, on this episode, we're going to be talking about myths and truths about PMS and menstruation. But first, live and direct from just outside Milwaukee and Waukesha, Wisconsin, I had an opportunity to actually go there, meet her several times, and the staff, as well as see her incredible location in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and also talk with patients. And I got to tell you, just from a personal standpoint, I know I've mentioned this a couple of times, she really is beloved, and she really takes time to listen to her patients. And every time I chatted with each patient during a TV shoot we did there recently, and then just about 2 years prior to that, every single patient can't say enough about Dr. Monlock. So the proof is in the pudding, folks, and it's my pleasure to welcome her back to Close Up Radio as we continue our series here on the program. Dr. Monlock, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us, as always.
Well, thank you. Pleasure is all mine.
You know, there's so many different topics and so many different areas we can go into because you're such an expert in all these different areas. But I think on this episode we were talking about the myths and the truths versus the truths about PMS and menstruation. First, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Dr. Vicky. Tell us again about your book, Blossoming. What inspired you to write that, and who's that meant for?
Well, you know, when I started realizing that most women are told it's just your period, you'll manage, or you'll adapt, or women, as they got over their pregnancies, well, it's just postpartum, you'll adapt, your periods will come back, promise. Or your perimenopausal, you know, you got told things will come back. Well, when you're an adolescent, you've never had them before. So you can't say to somebody, oh, your period will be back, or just next cycle will be better, because you're just gearing up. And you really, as an adolescent girl, don't know what to expect. You haven't been there before. And if all you're getting from people around you is, oh, just wait, it will get better. Well, you don't know, you have no frame of reference because all you knew is it wasn't there before and it's here now. So what are these cramps? What is this PMS thing? And, you know, it's new, and so you need, you know, help from your parents, your mom in particular. You want good advice, not crummy advice. You don't want to ask your dad or your male teacher. You may go to your best friend, but nobody is really there to help, and the pediatrician is too busy doing well child checks. So when you ask a question about cramps, it's like throwing a monkey wrench into a working gear. It's like everything comes to a complete halt, and all you get is deer in the headlight looks from them, and they go, well, we'll put you on the pill. That'll make things better. And that wasn't what you were asking. You were asking questions about why is my period even happening? What can I do to help these cramps get better? So the adolescent really doesn't have, pardon me, doesn't have a lot of good resources.
It gets you all choked
and
up.
I guess it's that autumnal kind of stuff in the air that just, I'm going to take a sip of water here. Oh, my goodness.
I was going to say, you care so much about your patients and about the topic, it literally gets you all choked up.
I guess I can say that, yes. But, you know, that adolescent just doesn't have a resource to go to. And if we don't give her adequate resources, then she's going to go to the next best resource she trusts, and that's usually Dr. Google. And Dr. Google doesn't always have the best answers for the way her question, because she's just going to say, tell me about cramps. Tell me about PMS. And it's going to be the first thing that pops up is what she's going to believe. And is it true information? And it may not even be good or true information. So blossoming was something I wrote not only for this forgotten female, the adolescent, but to be a mother-daughter guide, to be something that allows a mom to be an ally, to be an advocate with their daughter, so that it's something that a mom can go back and recall she had no resources either. So this resource as a book to help lay it all out can be something that they can both read or look through, and both can answer and bounce questions and ideas off of each other. And the case studies in the back are ways to find examples of what this might look like in a real person. So that was really my motivation, is that forgotten adolescent. How do we deal with that? How do we give teachers a tool to deal with it when this crying young adolescent in their classroom can't pick herself up to go to the next class? How do we deal with this? They need resources.
Exactly right. Resources have to be available. You know, there are many myths that surround menstruation. For instance, when menses begin, tell us about that. What are some of those myths that people have been sort of tossing around through the generations?
Well, you know, one of the really common myths is that, you know, your periods start with puberty. And those are two different concepts, even though they may be related on a time frame schedule. So what do I mean by that? Well, puberty is when you first are capable of, quote unquote, making hormone, and it's brought on by the production of your sex hormones, which means that now your sex organs are starting to mature. But it doesn't mean that your machinery turns on and you suddenly have your first period. You know, you can have symptoms of quote-unquote premenstrual kinds of changes, cramping and PMS starting up and even acne starting up well before you're going to have your first period, you know. And you can have things like PMS start and you can feel happy 1 minute, sad the next, and it may not mean that you're cycling yet. And so it truly can be that you need to know that sex hormones have their purpose. They have to kind of get the machinery started, but it's like going out and starting your car in the winter. And for those of you that don't get much winter, you've seen the commercials on TV where you go to turn the engine and it goes, and you got to turn that key several times to get that engine to start. And it's kind of a rough start when it finally kicks in and it's got to warm up before that engine runs smoothly. And it's the same kind of concept for the adolescent female body as well. You've got to let the hormones kind of get in and get started and get the organs primed before the organs are going to start to do what their monthly menstrual job is.
You know, I tell you, it's really fascinating to be able to dispel these myths in the way that you do. Many think that even PMS isn't real, but what's the truth? Does it lie in hormones such as progesterone?
Well, PMS, or premenstrual syndrome, is extremely real. Not every woman has, quote, PMS, but every woman who cycles is making her female estradiol and progesterone. And what is little understood is the balance between those hormones. And most women realize they make hormones, but they don't know that we make estradiol every day of our life as we are in our menstrual career from puberty to going through our changes and menopause at the end, age 50. But we make estradiol every day. When we make progesterone is only when we ovulate, which is halfway through that 28-day cycle. So the purpose of having female hormones is to get a uterus ready to be able to be childbearing. So as simplistic as that sounds, that is the purpose of a woman having a uterus, to be able to, with estradiol, build a lining. And then progesterone is there to make that lining nice and rich and wonderful that an embryo is going to want to implant in it and have enough nutrition that it can start to set up a healthy pregnancy in that uterus. So that is the function of a menstrual cycle. And a progesterone to enrich lining is also having impacts not just on that uterine lining, but these hormones go all throughout our body. So progesterone has a tremendous impact on our central nervous system. That's all of our emotionality, our moodiness, our depression, anxiety, our calming. But it has a tremendous impact on our breast, on our ovaries, our other female organs, in other words, as well as on our GI tract. So it has a systemic or full body effect, but we only make progesterone from day 15 of our cycle until we start our next period or our next bleed. So it's only there for 2 weeks. And the amount of progesterone that we make is going to determine whether or not you have a little PMS, a lot of PMS, or no PMS. That's the kicker, is the balance of where that progesterone is, how much you make, and how it balances out with your estradiol.
Again, I hope everybody's really paying heed to what we're talking about here, because Dr. Monlock has been doing this for over 30-plus years, and she's a real expert, and she knows what she's talking about. She's studied this for years, and also the nuances of it all as well. Let's talk also, Doctor, about PMDD. Tell us, maybe you could first define what that is. And is it a mood disorder or is it something more physical?
Well, PMDD is actually premenstrual dysphoric disorder. That's kind of a mouthful. So it's what I like to tell people is PMDD is PMS on steroids. It is take your worst PMS day and just exaggerate it or triple it or take it to 10 times. And that is PMDD. It is a much more severe aspect of PMS. And in some women, it is something that will actually put them into such a depressive state that they may be sent to a psychiatrist because they're dysfunctional. They cannot manage their family. They can't manage their daily routine. They can't manage their job. Some women will actually become very emotional and almost catatonic. Some women will actually become very angry. And there is actually fence that was accepted in a court of law for a woman who committed a very felonious type of act. It was an act of assault that ended up in physical injury, and her defense was PMDD that was, the psychiatrist confirmed that that was her diagnosis, and that level of PMS as a separate level was actually granted its separate status, and she was given a lesser sentence and only given psychiatric evaluation and medication. So it is a real diagnosis. It is poorly understood because many docs really don't know how to or when in a cycle to check a progesterone level, how to balance it with estradiol, how to balance it with the male hormones that a female also makes, and how that may or may not change month to month. There are so many variables that can change in that equation that most docs just go, well, of course your hormones could be the issue, so we're not even going to bother to look because they're always changing. Well, that's not the right answer. The right answer is we need to be aware, we need to look, and we have to trend what these numbers are doing so that we can make sense of what is going on. And if PMDD, which is a very, very low progesterone level, is what my research finds, then putting natural progesterone back and monitoring how much you're giving and what that results in as a level is a very reasonable and scientific medical approach to the problem.
You know, many women suffer things like weight gain and even water retention problems before and during menstruation. Would you say, does a woman's metabolic type actually influence this issue?
It does to a point, of course. Now, there are different metabolic body types. There are types that actually can say for weight maintenance versus weight loss, you need to eat more or less protein, more or less a Mediterranean balanced diet, more or less a more keto diet. But that is something, your metabolic body type is something that is defined by your genetics. And there is actually a cheek swab that we do in the office that helps determine what your metabolic body type is. So it's extremely helpful to know where you're starting. But if you also couple that with a low progesterone, then low progesterone means estrogen dominance, by flipping its definition. And again, if your GI tract is one of those major organs that is impacted by progesterone levels, then you're going to have bloating if it's too low. You're going to have excess gas because the transit time through your GI tract is very slow. So your food still gets broken down by your GI tract, but it has nowhere to go, and it just accumulates and accumulates. Well, if you bloat and you're uncomfortable, you may drink a fair amount of fluid to try to push it through. And water retention is, of course, not just water you drink, but it's how your tissues handle your water versus electrolyte ratio. And so what you put through your GI tract is definitely going to impact things like whether you have weight gain, whether you wear off the calories you eat, which is at least weight maintenance, versus weight loss. But if you're bloated and uncomfortable, that's not going to make you feel like you need to go out and go running or exercise, because it's just not going to feel good. So you don't.
You know, I've also heard that, and I've heard about acupuncture and how that can actually sometimes be something to think about. Do you think things like acupuncture can actually aid in or lessen or even cure menstrual ailments, or does that just bring maybe a short symptomatic relief? It takes care of it, but it doesn't last long.
Well, we all look for a quick fix, don't we? So
Yeah. If
you acutely have bloating, you're going to look for Tums. You're going to look for something quick that you can pop. You're going to say, what can I do to make this better? You're going to unbutton your waistband and think, okay, well, that's a temporary feel good, but now I got to stand up and my pants might fall down. So, yeah, you're looking for very short term. Then you want something that may help right now because I need to be someplace at the end of the day and I want this to go away. So do I put on a pair of Spanx and just push it all in, or do I drink a bunch of water to push it all through, or can I get a massage, or does acupuncture, as you mentioned, really work? But realize again that it's hormone imbalance, and I cannot stress enough that you're going to get a menstrual cycle every month unless you do something like take birth control pills that take it away, or if you do a long-acting reproductive contraceptive thing like an IUD. But I am here to tell you that anything that really overrides your natural hormones can be a double-edged sword. You may not get periods, but you may get increased appetite, or you may get all of the negative side effects of what an artificial progesterone versus a bioidentical natural progesterone can do to your body. I see a lot of women in their 20s who are told to have an IUD put in, or they're put on very low-dose birth control pills, and they have such depression and anxiety, and they have weight gain, and they have such incredible bloating and GI tract symptoms that they're told, well, that's the price that you pay for not having periods and for being contracepted. And I think that's a lousy trade-off. And I think women are handed, you know, this is the best I can do for you. These are the tools I have in my toolbox, so live with it. And yes, there are tools like acupuncture, but you've got to find an acupuncturist who's going to understand this is for bloating and for muscle aches or fluid retention that goes along with your PMS. Not all acupuncturists get that. Or you may go out and say, I'm going to go running because that'll help me mobilize this fluid and it'll help to a point. But understand that the problem is hormone imbalance, and it's the bioidentical estradiol and progesterone that are out of balance. And progesterone is what needs to be addressed. If we don't address the real issue, we're not going to get the real answer. We'll always be dancing around the root cause without ever addressing that root cause, which is the progesterone is too low.
What would you say to somebody listening right now who maybe they're just of a mindset, a way of thinking, could be even cultural, it could be generational, where they're dealing with these things that you've just talked about so eloquently and so concisely, but they're afraid to discuss them. They're afraid to bring it up. They're afraid, like you said, to mention it to anybody, even maybe to a doctor. What would you say to ease their mind that it's okay and it's actually in their best interest to chat with the doctor, express what they're going through, and don't worry about, the topic is something we don't talk about at the dinner table type of mindset? Because I know somebody like you, as I pointed out in the beginning of the show, and I have on several of these episodes, you listen and you care. There's no prejudgment. There's no shame in talking about any of this when talking with you, Dr. Monlock. What would you say to somebody listening right now who's hesitant and maybe it's just something where they were raised, oh, we don't talk about these things. I'll deal with it on my own.
Well, I have two resources that I've made available for anyone, and especially the non-medical person, the average everyday woman, to be able to pick up and find answers to what they have going on with them. First resource is something that every young woman does, and that's YouTube. Everybody's on YouTube. So I have a YouTube channel called Hey Doc, What's Up? Or go on by my name, and that's one of the easiest ways to get quick 2 to 4 minute little vignettes about what is PMS, about what is cramps with my period, how do I deal with this? And they're very short, easy to listen to, not meant for doctors. They're meant for patients to sit and get quick information about topics that are pertinent to you. The second resource I put together is my book, Blossoming, Becoming a Woman. I wrote this book for the adolescent and for the woman up to age 25 to 30 to give them answers to the questions that their best girlfriend may not know either, or that their mom may say, gee, I don't have a clue, but I don't have time because I'm working full time. So it's a resource. It's on Amazon. It's on my website, but it's a very simple case studies section in the back that says, how do I talk to my doctor? What are the lab tests that I need? And it's a way to just help yourself find the answers you're looking for.
Our special guest is Dr. Victoria J. Monlock. You can go to the website, Victoria J. Monlock, that's M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H, and then MD.com, Victoria J. Monlock, MD.com. And as she mentioned, she also has the YouTube channel, which is sensational. It's a great resource. And it's Hey Doc, What's Up? That's on YouTube. And go, Hey Doc, What's Up? And it is a she posts videos all the time. They're not four-hour lectures. They're quick hits, and they're packed with a punch of great accessible information. As always, Dr. Monlock, a pleasure having you with us on the show, and looking forward to chatting with you again as we continue the series, same time next week. Always a pleasure. 10 seconds.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful rest of your day. I know she probably has patients lined up out the door waiting for her. So we get her for the 30 minutes, we maximize it, and then we let her go so she can get back to work. She's truly amazing, truly. And again, Victoria J. Mondlock, MD.com is the website. The books, Full Bloom, as well as Blossoming, her website, Victoria J. Mondlock, MD.com, and the YouTube channel, Hey Doc, What's Up? Jim Masters saying, that's what's up on this episode of the Jim Masters, well, on Close-Up Radio. This is Jim Masters. And you have a great day. I'll be back literally in just a few minutes with another amazing guest here on Close-Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat again soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close-Up Radio, a division of Close-Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.